Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right. These are always fun. And we got a great week coming up. Obviously, the Gators going to be in town. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on. But first, let's bring in Mario Cristobal, head coach of the Miami Hurricanes, 49-12. And I was a little concerned during the week. I was like, uh-oh, I hope they don't hang around. And coach, man, congratulations. Those guys, they're ready to go from the kickoff, man, and did not let up even with a long delay.
Good morning, Joe. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm doing good, coach. Hey, coach, I do want to ask you, though, was it hard to get guys motivated, or do you feel guys kind of got the message like, hey, these guys, they got two good wins and they're trying to make it three and they're good on the road? What was the message all week?
Well, I think the message for them came in the form of the narrative, right? The narrative out there was that we were playing a team that was knocking out top 25 teams one after another. And they were obviously, they're very talented and well-coached. A lot of respect for their coach and their people. But our, you know, we just, our guys refused to be part of that narrative of, you know, we just, like, we do our own stuff, man. We're not, our guys feel like they don't want to let anything or anyone get in the way of doing our job. And our guys went in there with an edge and played really hard, really physical, and ended up executing at a high level.
Before we get into all the play and some of the young guys, everybody, it was just so much fun to watch. You have a long delay. You have a long, long delay to the point. I always used to go, man, that's how guys get hurt if they don't stay warm up. Can you just tell us what you did during that time, almost 2 hours, hour and a half, just to keep guys ready to go?
We have, you know, fortunately for us, living in South Florida, you practice delays, right?
Yeah.
You practice it all the time. And, you know, we actually, the week before we played our first game, we had the exact same scenario, went through all the processes from, you know, keeping the players engaged to what we're putting in our bodies to – when do we start stretching again? How long to keep them off their feet before we move them again? So keeping them hydrated and focused without getting them overly hyped and burning energy. So we feel really good about that protocol. So we put it into action, and it worked out really well for us.
There's so many good things to talk about. I'll just start with your defense and Byram.
The first thing I'd like to thank is the fans that stuck around, because that was almost a two-hour delay.
It was.
And you know, obviously, players and coaches think, well, by the time we get out there, everybody went home, but we come out and they were going bananas. So just awesome. Really appreciate them and need them to take it to a new level this weekend.
Yeah. Hey, so Byram Brown just did a great job. Never let him get going. I thought put some hard hits on him. You had to be pleased with the way those guys played up front.
Guys up front did a really good job at the line of scrimmage. You know, Byram Brown is a high-level player that changes the game with his arm, with his feet, and we did a good job compressing the pocket. He got loose a couple times, and I'll tell you what, he had some great downfield throws, but we recovered well, rallied to the football, and lived to play some really strong red zone defense, and were able to hold in the field goals and then extend our lead. And, you know, that plays into our hands when we're able to get, you know, a little bit of a wider gap and let our guys up front play football.
So I got to tell you, and it was fun to watch from where it was and is now, the improvement of that wide receiver room. And I know there's been improvement across the board, and I'm not taking away from everything, but Josh Moore, you know, we saw this the first day out there, and I was standing next to you, and he's running by people, stutter and go, and catching, and, you know, you're like, all right, he's got a long way to go, but yeah, you see the talent. He jumps up and makes a comes back in the end zone, makes a great catch as a true freshman, and it's just that whole group of guys in that room, all of them, some CJ and all the rest of them making huge plays. Three great catches were made in that game, but that room overall, what are your thoughts on their improvement so far?
Just tremendous progress, Joe. I mean, a very diligent, hardworking group, a very selfless group. I think what really stands out is the enthusiasm, like the energy you see from a guy. Like watching Malachi Toney go crazy when Tony Johnson comes across the middle and catches that big one on third and three. Like, that shows you they're legitimately in it for each other. So they just worked their butts off. They're taking a lot of – we're improving at blocking, you know, which we still got to get a whole lot better at. We're getting better at the contested ball. So you see a group that's just working really hard and progressing and is hungry for more.
Carson Beck comes out. He stays on that mission, man. 23 of 28, 340 yards. And you could tell he's getting more and more confidence in the guys and the system. And playing in front of that big offensive line, huh?
He is. He gets better and better every single week. I thought the best part was being unfazed by the turnover. You know, I think that's something that is critical for, as you know, you've been with the best of the best, man. A quarterback that could shake it off and get pissed off and go back in there and want more and want to do better after a turnover or a bad play, that's priceless. And he showed that. And not to mention his teammates showed all the faith in the world in him as well, so they went right back to work and got it done.
Bryce Fitzgerald, another guy that missed. I know we've talked about this a zillion times, went to Columbus High School, makes another nice play. He just seems like besides he must study, but he's got a great feel for the game. Nice interception for him as a true freshman as well. What do you see every day with? I know part of it was you were wondering how he was going to tackle and his overall play, but boy, his ball skills are ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, Joe, I think what we're seeing in him and the rest of our guys is the things that we're applying and emphasizing in practice are showing up more and more during the course of the game. And when you're a freshman that never had spring ball, you really have to accelerate, right, your course. And he's done that, and that's hard to do, so he deserves a lot of credit, so do his coaches. But I do believe, man, he's just getting started. He's going to get more and more time out there, and he's a guy that we trust to make the right decision, to make the right play when his number is called.
Yeah, and then on top of all that, the defense just, you know, everybody's kind of watching because see what this defense, it just seems to get better and better. They play well together. And also being deeper now at that position gives you a lot more confidence. You can do things and keep guys fresh.
Yeah, you know, technique and fundamentals are showing up. You know, running to the football is showing up. We're improving. You know, we're improving. We're getting better. We still have a long ways to go. But it's certainly, you know, we're doing a good job leveraging the football and being in position and getting guys on the ground. I think we had 9 missed tackles. Which I know Coach Heatherman is so diligent and absolutely just, you know how he gets after you in a practice. So a lot of improvement, man. A lot of improvement, a lot more.
Hey, I couldn't read you on the sideline. I was trying, but I was guessing that their D-line was trying to get you guys to jump the gun a little bit and we're moving. Was that one of the things that you were seeing during the game? Is that what I was hearing on the sideline, you talking to the officials?
Yes, sir. That's what we felt. We felt that they were mimicking our cadence, which, you know, nowadays you can't do like the really dramatic stems by the defensive line or them barking out your cadence, the same as you barking out their
right
moves.
Right.
You can't do that. And I felt they got us 3 times with it. We finally got one back at the end. But 3-for-1, that ain't a great deal, man. You know, hopefully we'll get some more of those in our favor later.
Yeah. No question about it. Hey, watching the big guy run, man, was fun. Fletch just got stronger and stronger, and you could tell he wanted to get in there, man, and just keep pounding. And it's just kind of every time I see you running between the tackles, Mario, I think of you because that's the way you want to play. Had to make you feel pretty good, man, to be able just to line up and know you're going to get yards.
they crowd the football, Joe. They, I mean, it's always a plus one concept, and they play their safety so low, sometimes it's plus two. So you're going to have to make a guy miss. You're going to have to run through a guy, and the yards are going to be bloody. They're going to be muddy. They're going to be dirty, dirty yards. And you're going to have to run your feet and push piles and run your feet through contact. And you know, you have to have great ball security. So a lot of credit to the guys up front, but also to the running backs and the quarterback for putting us in some really good situations.
All right, so we saw Beck keep it, a little surprise, surprise, and fake the cameras out on TV. That's when you know it's really good. Held on and ended up running and adding that, just giving, obviously, your opponent something else to think about. But, Coach, I got to tell you, I know he's got those quarterback pads on. I don't want him to turn into Larry Zonkey either. Is that something you guys talk to him about? I know he's a big guy, but it's a long season.
It would be good to have Zonka give him a call, you know. Maybe talk to him about, you know, why. Baseball background, he knows better. But he took a couple shots, you know, and we reminded him, you're not a crash test dummy. You're a quarterback. So do a good job of protecting the football and getting down.
By the way, C.J. Daniels' catch again. Pass interference, reaches out. Man, when you got him. And the guys from LSU were saying, hey, you got a really good one, man. He is really good. And, boy, he has been everything that everybody thought he'd be. He's got great hands and concentration. Not as good as the catch we saw a couple weeks ago against Notre Dame, but, damn, that was special.
CJ is, you know, we all see the highlights and whatnot, but what no one sees is what he does behind the scenes. He is here at all hours. And he is grooming and teaching and leading that position group in every way possible, from the classroom to extra work to film work to technique and fundamentals. Exceptional human being. He was a team captain for the game on Saturday. And, again, his best football is ahead of him, too.
All right, so here we go. Everybody's been waiting for this one. It's going to be fun. And, oh, by the way, College Game Day on campus, Saban and Herbie and McAfee and Desmond Howard and Reese Davis, that just adds to the whole game. I just think it's a great show and a great way to kick off college football, having them here.
No, it sure is. It's an unbelievable opportunity for, you know, for the university, the campus, the program to be showcased. And even more importantly, it's an opportunity for us to do a great job not being distracted. And keeping the main thing what it's supposed to be, making sure that we all understand that everybody working together has granted us tremendous progress, and we're getting better and better. And now, as we, you know, take on what's the most talented opponent that we have faced, that we continue to elevate our processes and get better.
I hope everybody realizes the Gators do have a lot of talent on that team. And by the way, they're in that LSU game, except, you know, as you know, you can't turn it over five times like Lagway had a rough one with the five picks. What do you see with the Gators so far from just a little bit of tape you've watched, or a lot?
A ton of NFL talent, speed, size, power, very very high-level football team, coached really, really well, and, again, really excited for the opportunity.
Yeah, listen, that is you wait for games. Like, Mara, you were in these games. I mean, you've been there with the Florida States and the Floridas and the Notre Dames. What a great schedule and great opportunity. Just the excitement. You could sell 100,000 tickets to all these games at Hard Rock. They're just a lot of fun, and I guess you don't have to say much, but I was really impressed, man. Your guys did not look ahead one bit when they could have, and you listen to all your friends and social media, you guys got them, you're going to kill them. You guys didn't take any of the bait on that one.
Well, I mean, the film doesn't lie. I think our guys are dedicated enough, they're diligent, and they are smart. They love ball. They love being around each other. And when you turn on film, I mean, these teams that we're playing, they got great players, man. They got great players. They're beating great teams. So there's, I mean, you have to be out of your mind or have your eyes closed not to realize that you have to be at your very best. And that means Sunday through, you know, kickoff and then beyond, all the way through the game. So we're understanding that concept more and more. And honestly, we just want to get back to work, man. We want to just cut out all the BS and all the hype and nonsense. We just want to get back to work.
All right. Well, listen, don't cut out my job all week talking about the game. But, listen, it's been great. It's exciting, and congratulations on that win. And, going forward, and these next couple of games are going to be a lot of fun. Coach, thank you so much. Appreciate you coming on.
Appreciate you, Joe. Go Canes.
All right, Mario Cristobal, head coach for the Miami Hurricanes, coming on this morning, spending some time and just talking about fun game to watch, man. Great stops on fourth down. Some nice drives mixed in, pass, run. Fun to watch. Fun to watch. All right. We got to go to break here. We got a lot of stuff, man. A lot of stuff. And the highs of the Canes and the lows of the Dolphins. That's kind of what happened. Same stadium, but a big difference in Saturday and on Sunday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought I was in rhythm and timing of the play, seeing the flat defender go over the top of Jalen. Jalen's turning around. I think that was a really good play by the defender. And, you know, had some color in my face trying to maneuver the throw as well. But 10 out of 10 times, if we're looking at that same thing, you know, I think I'd still try to work that timing of hitting that that spot. And I think the linebacker made a great play on that.
Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa there. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
That's good. He'll throw seven more picks. Trying to fit that in. Anyway, hey, we go right to Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Mike, good morning. How you doing?
Doing great, Joe. How are you, buddy?
I got in early this morning, and I'm just ready to go. You know, it's like, hey, we were close. We feel better about our team, even though we're still 0-3 down here. What do you think about Tua's late pick for a second straight week?
Well, yeah, there's an irony to that play because so much of his performance, and I don't want to be overly critical of him, but I want to be fairly critical. There's an element to his game that when the play that's called isn't there, there really is, as Xavier Howard called, a panic mode that kicks in. You can see it in his demeanor, the way he runs around. He's looking around. He's not quite sure of what to do. It just comes through the screen when you're watching the game on TV. Other quarterbacks don't react that way when the play that was called isn't working as designed. So his one mistake last night comes on a play where he had the confidence. He had the authority. He threw the ball, and he did the play exactly as it was drawn up. He looked one defender off to the side. He moved his eyes inside, and he went for Jalen Waddle. When you watch that play, Joe, the way that Terrell Bernard moved before the ball was even thrown, that's a film study interception. He saw something in looking at Miami offensive game tape, similar down and distance, similar formation to a – and I can't get into the weeds of – each and every team closely enough to know whether or not there was some tell there that let Terrell Bernard know that it was time to jump that route. But he was breaking before the ball was thrown. He knew that Tua was throwing that ball to Jalen Waddle after he looked the one receiver's way and then moved his eyes inside. So I don't put that on Tua as much as I put that on the overall operation, because there was a flaw somewhere that they didn't spot and that they didn't self-scout, and they didn't iron out of their own offense, because it was spotted and it was capitalized on by the Bills at the most critical moment in the game.
So, Mike, last night after the game, there was stuff around after the game that the owner, as Stephen Ross, has said, hey, I'm going to give it more time to see if it gets better, and I'm not going to I'm not going to panic through this thing. Listen, from the top, we've heard this Chris Greer stuff that tied into the Brian Flores stuff. You think there's something to that that maybe holds the owner back?
Well, Omar Kelly was on with me yesterday on PFT Live, and he made that point, and I lit up. I hadn't thought of that. But anytime you've got pending litigation that a former employee has brought against the company, if you've got somebody who is going to be a key witness in how that ultimately plays out, it's always better to keep that person in the fold as long as you can, even if they've already fully developed his testimony, his story. And I assume that the Dolphins have sufficiently competent legal counsel that as soon as this all hits the fan in early 2022, they got everyone's story, they got everyone's statement. Chris Greer is already locked in to a version of the events that will be hard for him to deviate from if he's not happy with Stephen Ross at the time he ultimately testifies at arbitration or trial. But still, it's always better to have that person on your side and in your good graces. So the idea that he would be reassigned and not fired, I hadn't thought of that. Omar made that point yesterday, and it's like, you know what? That's a hell of a point. And that may keep Chris Greer in the employment of Stephen Ross, even if he loses his authority over the roster. But, you know, look at the upcoming schedule. They do have a chance to win 3 or 4 of the next 5 games.
They do.
And I thought they didn't have extra time until the week 12 bye. I didn't realize they had 2 Thursday night games. They've got week 9 Baltimore Ravens. I mean, if the wheels completely come off, then maybe the time to make the change is after the Ravens game. If they have a bad showing in prime time against the Ravens, then you've got a couple of extra days to get an interim head coach up to speed. So they played well enough that nothing should happen now. They did. They responded well. They haven't quit on Mike McDaniel. I mean, there were a couple of key mistakes, but that's what games turn on. The Bills have the ugly field goal in the first half, and it gives a vitamin B12 shot to the Dolphins, and they tie the game. And then when the Dolphins are driving to tie the game, well, before they even, when the game was tied, the good God, the roughing the punter penalty. What are you trying to do there? That was, and my son felt bad that they kept showing Zach Seiler. It's like, why do they keep showing? It's like, well, that's kind of what they do. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that was bad. That and the interception, that changed the game. Two moments changed that game.
Yeah, no question about it. Hey, we got a bunch of other stuff to get to here. This tush push, Eagles, Kansas City, officials now going to officiate a little bit differently. Mike, are we going to lose this thing after this year most likely just because of all the talk about it?
Before the season started, and I can't believe it's only been 2 weeks, one of the things that I was assigned to get to the bottom of, where does the tush push stand? Where does it go after this year? And the reality is this, and I talked to a bunch of different people around the league, because it was so close to being voted out of the game, 22-10. 68% of the league wanted to vote it out. Only because the threshold is 75% to change the rules did it stay. I was told that if the tush push has an unremarkable year, it'll be forgotten and everybody will move on. But if there's something remarkable and noteworthy about it, the first thing was injury, because all the injury talk was theoretical, not real. If there's real injury data, the play's in trouble, right? But other ways can unfold to create it, you know, this problem we now have, whether it's the defense jumping offside multiple times. That's
right.
What put it on the radar screen.
That's right.
For elimination. It was that Commanders, Eagles, NFC Championship. Mike Pereira came out a few days after that and said, they're going to make another run at the tush push because that. I'm like, what the hell? Are you serious? But that's what sparked it. And now we've got the Eagles going early and the officials not calling it. I think it's firmly on the radar screen. I think if they took a vote today, they'd get to 24. Where they are in March or May of next year, who knows? But this whole thing, Joe, about officiated tight, like, how about just consistent? How about all, like, are there some rules that are more important than others? I read the rule book all the time. I don't see anything in there that says this rule is the most important. Like, you know, like, I don't like that. I don't like that. So I feel like the league is messing with the Eagles, but at the same time, they're sending the message. Anytime they do a point of emphasis or a reminder to the officials, the implicit message is they're not doing their jobs. Hey, guys, do your jobs. And The problem is it's a difficult play to officiate. But if you Joe, if you take it away, they're just going to run a quarterback sneak that's every bit as effective as the tush push.
Yeah. And some teams like now will do it better than other teams, according to – I mean, some teams won't use it at all. I don't know if they'd ever do it with Tua. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes will ever do it again after he got injured. But
was a Thursday night, 2019, against the Denver Broncos. They did a quarterback sneak, and he messed up his knee. But that's the thing. It's just a quarterback sneak with a push.
Right.
The Eagles will still gain a yard or two when they need a yard or two if they just do a quarterback sneak. That's what's so weird about it. If I was the Eagles, I'd eventually say, fine, take it away. We'll run the quarterback sneak every friggin' play. Every play from first and 10. And we'll score a touchdown every drive.
Hey, Mike, I was a little surprised. I thought the league – how stupid of me that the Tom Brady thing, the league says we got no problem with it. And I more former guys have gone, you got to be kidding me. Like, with everything that's around the game, are you kidding me that we don't think this is a conflict? Some former coaches have come out, everybody, and the league goes, no, Tom – basically saying Tom Brady's good for business. We trust Tom that he'll do the right thing, and we love him being involved. He's good for our game as maybe the greatest player of all time.
Well, I think part of the message, too, is, you know what, we really screwed this up when we approved him to be a limited partner of the Las Vegas Raiders, and we don't want to go back and admit that we blew it because we never should have let him do this. And, you know, I've been vindicated this week, and I've had various people say to me, are you upset that, like, all of a sudden everybody realizes the thing that you've been saying for, like, 18 months? Like, hey, man, the party's still all open. Like, come on in. I'm just glad that I've finally gotten through to people that it is a conflict of interest. Because I've had people argue with me, oh, it's not a conflict of interest. I've had articles written where they call me out. Oh, how dare you call it a conflict of interest? Bull crap.
Yeah.
It's clearly a conflict of interest because it's impossible for him to be the best possible broadcaster for Fox on one hand and the best possible owner of the Raiders on the other. And the key voice in all of this, because the coaches are going to say what they have to say. They don't want to piss Brady off. Every current head coach may soon be an assistant coach looking for a job, maybe with the Raiders. So there's a game that they have to play. Antonio Pierce, the former Raiders coach, came out and said, it's foolish to think it's not a benefit, that he's not going to go back with any information he picks up, because we had those conversations when I was the coach last year. Boom, it's over. When Antonio Pierce says that, it's over. Not only does the conflict exist, but yes, Tom Brady is taking full advantage of it. And why would we be surprised? This is the same guy the league dubbed a cheater 10 years ago and suspended him for 4 games. And they let the fox go right into the hen house.
It is. Every former guy.
I'm sure Dolphins fans would be unhappy to hear any of that.
No, we were actually laughing our ass off because we had dinner the other night with all the guys, and we were cracking up about, like, this is unbelievable. Tom Brady, man, it's good to be Tom Brady for sure.
An embarrassment for the NFL, and the owners need to take back their sport. The league office screwed this up, and here's what will happen, Joe. It'll be just like the tush push. When the Raiders become competitive at a high level, then all of a sudden,
yes,
oh, we got to do something about
right,
Tom Brady.
Right. No question. Hey, Mike, always great having you, man. Really appreciate it. And have a good weekend.
Thanks, Joe.
All right, buddy. Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Hey, we're not done. Omar Kelly, please don't go away. He and I disagree on some things, and I want you to get your opinion on it. So stay with us. We're going to have that next.
Rand Robbins got released. He takes over. Punt is with a flag down, and the punt's going to be downed at the 2-yard line. But you've got Zach Sealer.
Blew him up.
And the kick on 92, the defense. 15-yard penalty, automatic first down.
And Sealer is a 8-year veteran, one of the best players on this defense. Blows up the long snapper and tries to make a play. And because of that effort, it cost him.
Can't make stupid errors like that. And we got to learn from each and every play. Can't put ourselves in positions like that. And, you know, I can't do that. You know, obviously I got to learn how to work through the punt rush and going through all that and falling to the side. So, you know, like you said, not one play lies in the game, but it sure does feel pretty bad sometimes. So, you know, God's got a plan, and got to work through it, and we got to keep growing. I think a lot of guys showed a lot of flashes today. I think both sides of the ball did some great things. Obviously, there's plenty to clean up, but I think we're trending in the right direction, and we just got to right the ship and go on a run.
To a throw, and it's intercepted. It's picked off at about the 20-yard line. Carroll Bernard with the huge interception.
Yeah, that I thought I was in rhythm and timing of the play. Seeing the flat defender go over the top of Jalen. Jalen's turning around. I think that was a really good play by the defender. And, you know, had some color in my face trying to maneuver the throw as well. But 10 out of 10 times, if we're looking at that same thing, you know, I think I'd still try to work that timing of hitting that that spot. And I think the linebacker made a great play on that.
Dolphins come up short on Thursday Night Football, 31-20 when they drop to the Bills. It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody. We go to Omar Kelly, who was at the game from the Miami Herald, Dolphins columnist. Omar, good morning. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us. So what do you think about Tua's comments before we get to not getting it done late in the fourth quarter for a second straight game?
That's actually the first time I've heard about it. I thought it was true. He had some blue in his face, never looked off the linebacker. I'm a little surprised he said he'd make that throw, you know, whatever, out of 10 times. But, you know,
those eyes were looking right at him. I've watched it in slow motion.
Yeah.
Like, no. Your eyes don't lie. My lying eyes, man. He was looking right at that dude.
Yeah, I mean,
Jalen Waddle, that dude. Sorry.
Yeah, it's easy for us to criticize Tua when we have slow motion and replay and a defender's coming directly into our face.
Yeah.
But the reality is that moment after moment, game after game, there are very few opportunities where he's called on to rise to the occasion, and he actually does. I think he did in the last road game against Buffalo. He put the team in position to win the game, and then the defense kind of coughed it up. But we just got to get better clutch play from Tua, and better clutch play from the entire team. Now, you know, as I always say, the quarterback is always at fault, no matter what, in a loss. It's easy for everybody to criticize a quarterback, but I think Tua is probably item number 8 on the list of things that are bad, wrong, rotten.
Not me.
About the Miami Dolphins.
I put him right for his position and what he gets paid to be a franchise quarterback. I don't care if guys are sliding in his face. He's right on the top of my list. But go ahead. Who's on top of your list?
Well, my list starts with the defense, primarily the defensive line. I mean, they haven't – we're 3 weeks where they haven't stopped anybody running the ball. 5.8 yards per carry for Buffalo Bills. You know, that to me is just not acceptable.
Yeah. No, it's got to get fixed, or if it can. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we you know, Zach Sealer, sad as, you know, as he was after the game for – making that play that pretty much cost the team their momentum, not the game, but their momentum.
Yeah, no, that was a huge mistake. Yep.
That was just an absolute huge mistake. I throw Tyreek Hill on that list. He had two opportunities to catch balls that he didn't bring in. He even acknowledged that I got to do better. I got to catch those passes.
Wow. I thought Tyreek played pretty well. I thought Tyreek ran some great routes, and I didn't think quarterback got him the ball. The one I know that he caught out of bounds, he got one step. That ball's got to be thrown inside and thrown earlier and get there faster than it did.
Yeah, what about the deep one that he had in his hands that he didn't bring in?
The deep one with one guy on each side that he ran down the middle? The fluff, but the punt? It looked more like a punt than a pass? That was terrible.
Tyreek asked, give me that opportunity. Just throw it up there. Don't care. Don't matter about coverage.
You can't run 10 100 meters when you're going up. He's not doing the high jump. That man is – you got to get – what happened to getting the ball out in front of him like we saw a couple years ago? What – this 2 weeks in a row. I mean, now you're telling – are you selling me that now all the deep balls need to be thrown like, hey, guy, take off and run fast, but be prepared to come back for the ball because it's not going to be out in front? You cannot get on him for two guys collapsing on him at the same time on that play.
I understand he's bracing himself for a hit. I mean, but the ball touched your hands. Nobody
man, two. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe this, Omar. I thought our two receivers played. I thought they were pretty good, even though their numbers look like they did last year, if not worse.
Their numbers look pedestrian. They're not, all of their numbers look pedestrian.
All those short passes. I think Mike realizes Tua can't do a lot down the field, and some of it he doesn't have the time, so just throwing all these short stuff and the swing and screen,
To me, that's what it is. And the replacement of Keon Smith, Daniel Brunskill, he's the guy that lets up the rusher right on that pass that gets intercepted. I mean, everybody's got to do better. Yes. Everybody's got to do
better. Yeah, I agree. The team's not – there as a group, they're not – they're not playing well enough. There were guys that had their moments last night, and you know there were. But when you lose, and the way it went down. By the way, did Keon Smith get hurt, or did they just put Brunskill in there because of his play?
No, Brunskill. Keon got benched.
By the way, everybody said he played poorly in the last game. Why did he start?
Because he's a young player that has upside and talent. They've given him opportunity, but. Yeah, everybody played poorly in the last game. Yeah. Offensive line, except for
Aaron Brewer
and Patrick Paul.
Paul, by the way, I feel bad because he is playing. To me, he's playing really well. I said last night we don't talk about him enough, I guess he must be playing really well. And we had a laugh because we only talk about offensive linemen when they give up a sack or a pressure that affects things. Yeah. Hey, so your take on Anthony Weaver in the defense? And what's going on? We got growing pains with some of the guys, and I was prepared for two of your high draft picks that are playing on the defensive line at those tackle positions, but there is some growing pains with it.
I think it's worse than growing pains. They're just getting blown off the ball. It is so ugly to watch that run defense, and that's not something I'm used to seeing from the Miami Dolphins defense. Certainly not something I'm used to seeing from Zach Sealer. And I'm not saying that Sealer's just absolutely stinking it up, but you could tell he's putting pressure on himself, trying to babysit and hold the hand of some of these young players. And they're just not getting it done. The twisting and stunting isn't working. Guys are getting moved off the point. It's compromising everything from a defensive standpoint. And I'm not telling you that the linebackers or the safeties haven't made a play all season. That they we're going three games, no turnovers. And I asked Mink about that.
Isn't that funny? We don't even talk about them. I know they get some tackles, but
actually
Dante Trader, man, nice tackle. James Cook was going to be off to the races on a run, but you're right. There hasn't been any. Well, they got zero takeaways. So that's not good.
Yeah, no. And nobody's being challenged on any level of the defense. The game isn't hard for the quarterbacks. Quarterbacks aren't under a ton of pressure.
All played great so far. You're right.
Can't stop the run. Can't stop the tight end. It's just the defense that's hemorrhaging. After the game, Jordan Brooks basically said, this is a communication issue. We don't feel comfortable playing one another. We don't have chemistry with one another. It's going to take time, and this has to be fixed. But you know, at this point,
it's not good.
I can have to tell you, you know, everybody's sitting here waiting for Anthony Weaver to become the interim coach. Like, his defense is probably playing the worst out of all the team's units on the team.
Let me ask you about Ollie Gordon. It's good to see. And I said this earlier. You were on it. A lot of the writers were on it. Our fan base is going, we want to see the big guy running, man. And he ran with power again last night. Got a little running game going. Some of the one positive thing. I was glad to see him get more than two carries.
Absolutely. They used the I formation. They used RPO. And I think that they can do those things. They've shown throughout camp that they can do those things. The problem is you got to have a lead or close or not be playing down by 12 points, to put yourself in a situation where you can do that play action kind of stuff. Gordon runs with power. I'm not saying he's better than Devon Achane, but it gives you a nice 1-2 punch. Yesterday, the Dolphins ran for 130 yards, 5.2 yards per carry. Yeah. There isn't a single game where I think they've run for less than 5 yards per carry. The problem is they haven't had opportunity. Well, they did against the Bills. Hopefully that continues, because the one thing I can tell you that this offense can do is they can run the ball.
I thought Mike's play calling was really good without the deep passes that they couldn't get on the same page. I liked it. Maybe a little bit too much of our number one running back on swing and screens on the outside. A couple of them got blown up in a big way. Damn near got him killed on one. But what'd you think?
I haven't looked at it film, and I had such a horrible view of the game. I watched the game a little bit last night, but I have such a horrible view of the game. It's hard for me to sit there and criticize play calling, but
I thought Mike dialed up some good stuff. Yeah.
They were balanced. I like that, but opportunities, it would be nice if you had the ability to utilize a tight end. I think Malik Washington can do a little bit more. Do I like 10 targets for Tyreek? I absolutely do. Wish he would have come down with a little bit more of those targets. I'm not a Devon needs to touch the ball 30 times a game kind of guy. So, he didn't. He touched the ball 19 times. He touched the ball.
Yeah, he got a lot. Got a lot. 20,
yeah, he touched the ball 21 times. And that's okay, because right now Devon is probably the best performer on the team. So you do what you can.
Yeah.
From the return game, I liked what I saw from D. Eskridge.
Caught the game. You didn't need a fast start. You can't do any better than what D. Eskridge started that game on, that 53-yard return.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, Omar, good stuff, man. I appreciate you coming on. We we got to somehow pay a lot of money to that outside. Just got to figure out how to make it work where we can complete some passes down the field. We're not the Buffalo Bills, man. They are, by the way, did it feel like all three teams before I let you go had the same game plan? Run the ball and throw a lot of short passes, tight ends, and just didn't force it down the field very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is a defense that's going to give you everything underneath. So, I'd love to see them vary what they do and how they play, but we are where we are because you have limitations.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, thank you so much, Omar. I appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
All right. No problem, Joe.
All right. Omar Kelly, Miami Herald Dolphins columnist, joining us this morning. Talk a little bit. See, there we have right off the bat. I can just see everybody going out of who played well and who didn't play and pointing fingers today. Hey, man, it really doesn't matter because you're 0-3. Well, we're playing better. Great. You lost by 10. You're 0-3. Well, we played maybe the best team. Yeah, great. They're in the AFC East with you. You're 0-3. And now, my God, you got the Jets. They might be in the same boat. They might be in the same boat for that Monday night game coming up here.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Verhaeghe gives to Reinhardt, and the puck poked away. Now Barkov to Verhaeghe. Now Barkov right side, Reinhardt to the open net. He scores!
It's a hat trick here in game six for Sam Reinhart. He cashes in on the empty net. 4-0 Panthers with 6:34 to play in the third.
It is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
All right, Woody, thank you so much. Man, this is a special one for us. No question about it. Paul Maurice, Florida Panthers head coach, joins us. Coach, we haven't talked to you since the parade, man, and everything else. Congratulations, man, coming back as a champion again. Back-to-back champs. Three straight trips to the finals. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It's been a while for sure, but it's good to be back. I think everybody's, everybody's excited to get going.
Hey, so I got to ask, I got to go back before I go forward. So we were all, you know, how we on radio, we're always got your topics and like, okay, we got three guys that are all played great in the playoffs. What the hell's going to happen? There's no way Bill Zito's going to be able to get all three of them, Bennett, Ekblad, and Marchand, and he friggin' gets it done. Were you even, you knew the money situation and stuff. You knew they could make a little more in the open market. Did you think we might get two out of three? What were you thinking?
Yeah. Well, I had three ideas in my head. And the one is each one of these guys can hit a home run. Each one of these guys, I mean, this Aaron Ekblad alone, 6'5", right-hand defenseman and quality player. So on. That is coveted around this league. Sam Bennett's Conn Smythe winner and Brad Marchand at 20 points. So all of them can go out into the free agency market and absolutely hit home run. The other two thoughts were.
Hey, Coach, I'm sorry, Coach, I got to interrupt you. We're having trouble with your phone. I know this is great. I really wanted to hear this. We're having a little trouble. Can you try me again there?
I'll call you right back.
Call me right back. That'd be good. Thank you so much. Yeah, we're breaking up and getting ready to get into the three guys. And I definitely wanted to hear what he had to say about that. So we're going to try the head coach again here, having a little trouble with the phone, which happens, man. That's part of the deal. The old phone at home and phone here and everything else. So, they're getting ready to go back to practice. All right, Coach, I got you again. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry about that.
How are we doing? How's this now?
Sounds good. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, you know what, Joe? I think I need a new phone. I think it's just, you know, I'm one of those guys that still has got a rotary dial on it. That's how old this thing is. So might be today.
Okay.
But you know what? You'd asked the question about those three guys. And we all knew after the season, because of their performance, not just in the playoffs, but clearly Sam Bennett wins the Conn Smythe Award, that all three of these guys are so coveted in style of play alone, right? They're all hard men. They all compete at such a high level. But there were two things that I was holding on to. And the one is how they fit in the room. And it's not just the players, it's their families. The connection between the wives, the families that are here every day. Players don't want to leave here. So if there's a chance for them to stay, they want to stay because it's just Bill Zito has created this incredible group of guys. And then the last faith is in Bill. I mean, there's been probably five or six times in my own head, he said, when Bill said, I think I can make this happen, my thoughts are, yeah, I'm not sure you can make that happen.
Right.
And it goes back to Matthew Tkachuk, right? He tells me, I think I can trade for Matthew Tkachuk, and I'm thinking, there's no chance. So over the years now, I've got a little more hope every time Bill says, that, you know, we're working on it. So I've got a lot of faith in what he does. But to bring them back, style of play alone, right? They're all hard. They play hard. They compete hard. It's not just a skill-based game. If you lose those guys, you can't replace them. That's why they would be so coveted. And to their credit, and certainly they'll all tell you they get paid very, very well. They all left money on the table to play for the Florida Panthers. And that now is a theme here where we've got seven or eight guys, the most recent players that are up for contract have all left money on the table to stay.
Wow. Yeah. No, you heard Toronto, some of these places were offering big money to get some of those guys and their leadership and all that stuff. So it was crazy. I got to ask you, Camp, getting ready to open up. You went pretty hard last year. Now, all of a sudden, the last 3 years through the playoffs, you realize you've played an extra season of hockey. Get treated any differently this year coming back?
Well, we do have a change in logistics. The heart is going to be there, and it has to be, and they want it. So the difference for us will be is we're going to give our veteran guys an extra week of training. When the training camp starts and I take the big fellas out for day one, their individual training stops because they physically just can't do what we do on the ice and then continue to condition. So we found a block of time to allow them to train, but it's going to be every bit as hard as it's ever been. And most of that now, Joe, is driven by them, right? We've run the exact same drills for the first 5 days for three straight years. We can measure how hard they work. And each year they've worked harder. And that's them. That's their internal drive.
Matthew Tkachuk's going to be out for a while. I know he had the surgery.
Yeah.
How long do you expect him to be out, Coach, just what doctors have told you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be short-term. And really, Joe, we won't know the answer to that for about another 4 weeks. He's just come out of the surgery. He's healing now. In about 4 weeks, we'll take a look at him. It's not going to be short-term. I want to be careful about putting a date and time on it because we don't know the answer to that. We certainly expect him. I don't know, maybe mid-season, something like that.
Okay. And, Coach, I hate to bring you into this, but everybody now in sports talks culture. Got to have a good culture, locker room, leadership, chemistry. And you have figured this thing out. I spent way too much time about culture here with football and everything else. So you've seen what it looks like at its best with your guys. And obviously, right. You got to have a lot of really good players. Let's not forget that part. What's this culture thing? Just tell me for you. I mean, you live it every day. Help me out what the culture thing is for the Panthers. What's that mean?
The most important thing that we do is how we treat each other. That's the culture of our team. And then you can just expand it out from there, how we treat the people around us, the support staff, how we treat our fans, how we treat the people we come in contact, how we treat the game, the respect for the game. And the driver of that then goes back to, how do you treat your teammate? So this isn't just, you know, high-fiving each other in the morning. It is, will you train as hard as you need to train to be as good as you can be because your teammate is also doing that?
Yeah,
but that's the trust that gets built. The trust that gets built by everybody investing all they have to invest. And we've got a spectrum of talent in our room, and everybody understands that. And that's why Sasha Barkov makes way more money than the 13th forward. But in terms of the investment each man makes, they can all be equal.
Yeah.
They can all be the same man. And when you have that culture of trust that we're all going to treat each other a certain way, and we do that by handling our day, that's what we talk about every day as we deal with today as hard as we can, as best as we can. And then when you can get that, Joe, I think the byproduct is actually fun. Once everybody's pushed as hard as they can, once they've supported, competed, done all the things that we expect from each other in the room, we've done our best, I guess is one way of saying it.
Yeah.
Then you can have fun. You can laugh, you can joke, you can enjoy each other because there's nothing else to do. So you lose a game, but you've given your best. You try to fix the things, you try to grow, you try to get better, but we all understand that what we do, the most important thing we do is how we treat each other.
Yeah, that's amazing. All goes back there. I got to ask you, Coach, I've never asked you this before. All the time we've been talking. Do you have a lot of rules for those guys, even though they're, you can tell those guys don't need a lot, but do you have set? Well,
that's a great question. So I would say off the ice, we do not. For the most part, so there's two sets of rules, right? There's league rules that we have to follow. Everybody has to abide by those. There's, instead of calling them rules, we'd say there's things that we've agreed upon here that we're going to do. And then we just do them. And we just, I don't chase guys around. I don't have anybody late for a meeting. It just doesn't happen. And when it does, it's usually pretty funny because we make fun of the guy and it's not going to happen again. Right?
Yeah.
You can enjoy some of the aberrations and things, strange things that happen during a year. Guy gets a flat tire, gets pulled over, whatever it is, and he's rolling into the meeting late. I'm not finding him because it just doesn't happen here. So there's a bunch of things that we've agreed upon. But we do have things on the ice that we demand. And we've got four or five things in the game that we expect to happen every single time, regardless of who you are. And those things would be hard on.
Yeah.
But we've all, and that's the kind of, nobody's fighting on those rules. We don't have a player here that wants to play outside the team game. And that's the leadership in the room. So if Barkov is going to do it, everybody else is going to do it.
Right. Yeah.
If Ekblad and all of the guys, I mean, I don't want to single out just the one of them because they're all leaders.
Right.
If your best player is going to adhere to the game plan, there isn't another player underneath that has the right not to.
Yeah. No question about that. I agree. So I got to ask you this one, too, because it pops up all the time, and I don't know. So you and Bill Zito, as hot as anybody, as a head coach and general manager in professional sports right now, decisions on players. Do you ever have moments where you go, I really like this guy, and he says, I don't, I like this guy more? Do those conversations take place?
Like in terms of in our room or players around the league?
Players around the league or guys you might want to, you're thinking about trading or bringing in.
Yeah, I would say that I would give input to Bill. We have a certain style of play in Florida. So the first question is, do we think this player can adhere to our style of play? And then I would leave it, because what he is brilliant at is finding people that are different. Like the difference between, you know, Carter Verhaeghe and Sam Reinhart, let's say, they're completely different players. But Bill has an incredible knack of finding these guys that are kind of the right kind of people to fit into our room and into our style of game. So my job is to work with what we have. And based on the last 3 years, I don't step into that. I give the pro scouts and I give Bill Zito input and input only. And whatever they decisions they make have been right. I support them completely.
Yeah. No, you got a hot GM right now. There's no question. So
I mean, at the end of the day, there's two great stories here. And the one is the players here, and the second is how they got here. And that's Bill Zito and his entire staff, that group that he has, finding these guys that would fit us that don't fit somewhere else quite as well. He's been absolutely brilliant at it.
Yeah. So 2 years ago, you were my parade MVP. I want to let you know that speech. I laughed. I had about 18 beers by that point myself, and yeah. I didn't go right home. I drank way too much. Last year, though, I think we got to give it to Sam Bennett this past year.
You know, a lot of people they don't like the way we play. They don't like, they call us dirty. They call us nasty. They call us bullies. So no, I would like to take this time to apologize to absolutely no one. We're the double champs. We do what the we want. Let's go.
Oh, that's the enthusiasm of the winner. Yeah, well, there you go. That's why we were so happy to get him signed.
Yeah.
Those are the only 10 words Sam said all year, by the way. It was his entire volume of words. He's such an incredible competitor, and what a wonderful guy. He just fits here. And I don't know how it would be walking into the room this year without him in the locker room. It just wouldn't be right. So we're very, very fortunate to have him back.
Boy, the more you see him, his toughness and everything, and he just takes it, and guys are taking shots, and media in Canada just kill him for as good as he is right for the team up there. And he got his moment. He got his moment, got a couple cold ones in him. Coach, and he was just absolutely beautiful. Well, we can't wait. We can't wait to get you back to Jerry's house at Amaranth Bank there. Really appreciate you coming on, Coach, spending time with us.
Anytime.
Really appreciate it, man. We got to do this a lot this year. Thank you.
And thank you very much for all your support, even when it was a little greasy there 3 years ago. We really appreciate you sticking with our team. Thank you very much.
All right, Coach. You're absolutely the best. Paul Maurice, Florida Panthers head coach. Wow. That was a good laugh. Hey, Woody, I can't get – that just never gets old, that Sam Bennett thing. That was just a way to drop the mic right there, man. There was nothing else. Hey. There you go, Woody. There you go. Now you got that right,
ready
music.
Some,
here we go.
Some early picks here, Joe.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't looked at the damn games morning yet.
Well, that's the thing. I want to get this while your mind is still fresh.
All right, go ahead.
I think your mind is going.
Oh, they're showing that. We got highlights on our monitors up here, and Tua just threw that pick.
That guy just came out of nowhere, man.
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the guy out in the flats wide open about the same distance. It's tight end.
It doesn't matter. That guy just came out of nowhere. What a play. What a fantastic play by the linebacker. Isn't that what he said? Anyway.
Looking at him the whole way. All right, go ahead.
Whatever. Champion boxer Mike Tyson's bringing his Return of the Mike show to Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood this December. Stories and more from Iron Mike. We got a chance for you to win tickets. Just text the word KID, K-I-D, to 20357. For more information, go to WQAM.com. This is a text contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. Tickets are also available for purchase at casino.hardrock.com/Hollywood/events. You were 6-7 last week, by the way. bringing you to a grand total of 15-13 on the season.
That's all right.
So you're two over 500. So
you know,
green.
That record will get you, you know, get you in a wild card or one of those last playoff spots.
You're in the green, my friend. So you're in good shape here. Let's start with the college game. We'll jump to the NFL games. Miami and Florida, Hard Rock Stadium, 9.5.
It's now 9.5.
It's moving, Joe. Gators stink.
Man.
Gators are good. It's moving.
Canes people put, oh, boy. Okay.
Miami win by 10 is the question we ask you right now, Joe.
I'm going to say Canes win, but they're not going to cover that spread. A little bit off last night. A little bit of flavor off last night.
Okay, so you're taking the Gators. All
yeah.
right, mark it down. Jamie's keeping track of all these over here. All right, Joe. Let's
My
go
daughter
to
said I had to. I spent a lot of money in Gainesville on her
That's true.
Education.
That's true.
All right.
Sunday 1 o'clockers here. We got the Browns and the Packers. Green Bay is favored by 7.5.
Oh yeah, pack. Pack
Games
all
in
over
Cleveland. Not that it matters.
It doesn't matter. Pack all over them. They playing everything.
All right.
They might
Cam
be the best
Ward.
All-around team in football.
Does Cam Ward get his first win here? They might be. By the way, Titans hosting the Colts. The Colts have been a nice little surprise. That is a spread of Indianapolis favored by 4.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go Indy. They got a little confidence here. The Daniel Jones story.
This is a strange spread here. Vikings are hosting the Bengals. Minnesota's only favored by 2.5. Of course, no Joe Burrow.
Boy, Minnesota's got their own problems, though.
Hmm.
Kid's out for a couple weeks.
Who are you going with?
I know you don't care about all that. I'm going to go Minnesota.
Okay. Patriots and Steelers. Interesting game here from Foxborough. Steelers are favored by 1.5. Both teams 1-1. Kind of a critical game.
I'm going to go Pittsburgh. I'm still not drinking the New England Patriot Kool-Aid of what I saw 2 weeks ago.
All right. Eagles hosting the Rams. Philly favored by 3.5. Both of those teams are undefeated.
Where's that game?
In Philly.
Oh,
1 o'clock.
Let's go there. Let's go Philly. Philly right. cheesesteak. Make that two.
Few more 1 o'clockers
Damn,
here.
Good.
Bucks hosting the Jets. Tampa 6.5. Bucks are 2-1.
Oh, the Bucks are going to take care of them. I think that Monday Night Football. Let's just break it to those folks at ESPN right now and ABC.
A couple of winless. Yeah.
Hate to do it to you a month into the season, but you guys going to be looking at teams that haven't won a game yet.
Boy, they probably thought that was going to be a juicy matchup. We got Commanders and Raiders. Washington is favored by 3.5. Jaden Daniels, I know, is banged up.
He got to play,
I would think, but and well,
that's a big
banged
deal.
Up nevertheless, but who are you taking here?
I'm going to take Jaden Daniels because he's going to play and he's still really good, even if he's not 100%.
You can't change your pick if he like last minute. So
I can't.
You're in on the Commanders.
Is Mariota the backup there, right? Is that right?
I think probably he's a backup everywhere. Panthers and Falcons, Joe, 1 o'clock from Charlotte. Panthers are 0-2. Dolphins get them in a couple of weeks. Atlanta favored by 5.5 here.
I'm going to go Atlanta.
All right.
We're going to see both those teams, huh? Keep an eye on that one for me, Woody.
Here's a weird one. The Jags are hosting the Texans. The Texans are 0-2, and Jacksonville at 1-1 is favored in this game by 1.5. The Texans get their first win, or are they going to 0-3?
That Texans, that's a weird one, man. Supposed to be so good.
Mm-hmm.
But they've taken a few steps back. All right, you don't care about all that
You're
stuff.
You're talking yourself into Jacksonville here.
I am.
Sounds like. Okay, Jacksonville it is. Good game at 4:05. Here we start the 4 o'clock window. Chargers hosting the Broncos. L.A. favored by 2.5.
Yep.
Chargers?
I'm going to go Chargers. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
Officially buying in on the Chargers.
As long as Justin Herbert's still playing. Still the most important position in sports.
Seattle and New Orleans. From Seattle, the Seahawks are favored by 7.5.
I'll go Seattle.
4:25 now. Bears and Cowboys from Chicago. Dallas favored by 1.5. The Bears are winless. The Cowboys are 1-1.
Oh.
Good luck.
I'm going to go Dallas.
That's a toughie. Man.
I still don't. Do you know anything about Caleb Williams? Do we know anything about him?
No. All I know is
some
that
people
they
given
brought
up.
In to coach the team was supposed to be an offensive guru, and he had like a good opening drive, and people were like, "He fixed Caleb Williams."
Yeah, they're getting on him.
Not so much.
They're getting on old Big Ben. We had him down here. They're getting on him a little bit.
Yeah. 49ers and Cardinals, 425 are here from Santa Clara. Joe, your neck of the woods
yeah.
there. San Fran favored by 2.5. Both of those teams are 2-0.
Yeah. Oh, good starts. I'm going to go Arizona. Boy, and I did that against my 49ers I grew up with.
We got what has the potential to be a little bit of a clunker here on Sunday night. A couple of 0-2 teams, the Chiefs and the Giants.
Boy.
From New Jersey.
I heard everybody beating that up yesterday.
Kansas
what if
City is favored by 6.5?
Giants win. Giants I think Kansas win. City get their first win.
Okay. That seems reasonable.
I had trouble believing in that bad. It looks like they've got Worthy back this week with that shoulder. By the way, if it's dislocated, good luck trying to play the first time you starts popping out.
You want to do your Monday pick now? Or you want to marinate a little? Yeah. I know you're going to take the Ravens regardless, so. It's Ravens and Lions from Baltimore.
Man, that should be a great game.
Baltimore favored by 4.5. I mean, I know you're going to take Baltimore because you love Baltimore.
I do. I'm going to take Baltimore.
Yeah, I would too.
Hey, listen, man. I think Dan Campbell's really good. Really good. He's what today's coach I think they're going to be going back to. It's all right. You can do tough love.
All right, real quick, just going into this weekend, best team in the NFC, best team in the AFC. Who do you got? You on Green Bay still?
Yeah, I'm going to go Green Bay.
So no Eagles?
No.
Okay.
AFC?
You saw the Bills last night. Are they the best team?
Man, I think the Ravens have like more pound. Night. They didn't beat them. I guess I got to go Bills.
Ravens, I mean, they collapsed in that game, though.
I know, and they'll play again.
Yeah.
I still think the Ravens are a better team.
I do,
overall,
too.
Talent-wise, yes, I think they're a better team. All right.
Who do you think's a better quarterback, Lamar or Josh?
I think Josh is better. No, I think Josh. Not by much, because I think Lamar's right up there. They got a special VIP club down in South Beach that they go to. It's called the Quarterback Club. Mm-hmm. And you got to be really frigging good to get in there.
I think Baltimore.
There's only a few guys in that real friggin' good. Tom Brady is, owns a piece of the club. That's a special one.
Problem is the Bills don't have any weapons that really scare you, right? Like,
by the way,
Baltimore's got the
way they use their guys. A lot of short crossing routes and curls, curl you up and scramble and run for an open spot. And I'll stay alive and keep the play alive. Yeah, crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. All right, Woody, we got an 8 o'clock hour coming up. We're going to try to track down Omar Kelly. I don't know if he stayed out late last night, had too many chicken wings,
Do they have any of those?
Chasing little lady around up there in Buffalo, a little big girl out there.
Do they have any of those adult establishments in Buffalo?
They got them everywhere.
They have them in Buffalo?
I don't know, but I know the writers know. Hey, so let's just move on here. Let's keep going.
He
here.
Likes the late night wings.
Yeah,
and those places.
That's
have
only
them,
down
so.
Here. What's the name of that private club used to be, or that adult club that used to be by QAM?
Well, still there, Tootsie's.
Oh, that one. Yeah. I couldn't remember it.
Omar likes the.
I drove by that once. I've never been inside that thing.
I'm sure you haven't.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.